Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, at the heart of Irish homes for over 40 years. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Now, I just want to tell you about this status orange wind warning issued by Met Éireann. It's for four counties this Saturday, and this storm is called Storm Kathleen. So the counties affected are Cork, Kerry, Galway and Mayo, and it begins at 7am on Saturday and lasts until 5pm on Saturday. So we're bound to get more detailed weather forecasts throughout the rest of today and tomorrow, but that's a heads up there from Met Éireann. Now, we've all been there, haven't we? The cake that we might have slaved over emerges from the oven. It should be a showstopper. That's what you expected. That's what you bargained for, but it's a bit of an eyesore. Or maybe the picture perfect tart that you expected. It looks great on the outside, but it's a bit raw in the middle. So we wanted to look at the common baking mistakes that we fall foul of and how we can avoid them. And who better now to take us through them than Anne-Marie Dunn, who's a bakery lecturer in the School of Culinary Arts and Food Technology in TU Dublin. Lovely to have you with us.
Morning.
Do you understand how these things happen to the normal mere mortals who are trying to bake?
Well, yes. Well, I suppose because it is a science. So, you know, there are common mistakes that people do make. Mm-hmm. Do you know, when you realise where the mistake is, it's normally usually easily fixed.
Right, because I had a banana bread issue. We're on a bit of a buzz now. I know everyone gave up on the banana bread in COVID, but I made one at the weekend, beautiful. Made one on Tuesday night and sank in the middle. Right, why okay. Did it sink in the middle?
Well, the thing is, did you just say if the recipe called for two or three bananas, were they different size bananas? Or did you just pop the amount in? It's always good to go by weight, and this is where we're saying it is a science. Mm-hmm. So as we know, you can get small bananas and big bananas, and say the recipe, or you had three bananas left over and say, oh sure, I'll chance them in. Like that amount of banana, the makeup of the banana has to be considered, because there is a sugar content there, you know, there's a carbohydrate amount in it, and you have to take that into the recipe balance.
So the size of the bananas might have been the issue.
Absolutely. And what I would always do, if you had a recipe, I'd always weigh the banana that you were using and go from there. So you knew the exact amount of banana that's out of the skin that you were using in the recipe, and then you will always get consistency.
Okay.
Now you have to remember as well, depending on whether you're taking a ripe banana or a not-so-ripe banana, can have an impact on the amount of sugar that's in there.
Now, I did get the 9-year-old, very helpful as she is, to mix the butter and the sugar together.
Yeah.
Now, do you have to be very careful how much mixing you're doing on the butter and the sugar?
Not normally, but if it did sink in the middle, she may have gone a little bit over with it. So if you over-aerate a product and maybe the moisture that's in there or not enough flour, the flour content doesn't hold the aeration during the baking, it'll rise, and then the starch content of the flour, the protein of the flour, won't hold the aeration that was sort of whisked into the beating of the sugar mm-hmm. and the butter. And it gets to a certain stage, if the structure is not there to hold it up, it just collapses back down. If your mixture is too wet, or if there's too much sugar, that's another reason why you'll get that sink in the centre. So you, again, with baking, you have to understand when something is mixed enough or not mixed enough. And that's where the practice comes into it.
Yes.
And that's where the know-how into baking and the science of baking works. Now, it can be timed. Like, we will often in large commercial bakeries time everything. Everything is scientific, so you get repetition, you get consistency. The home baker is not going to do that, because that's what takes the joy out of baking. So what you need to do is to understand maybe the temperature of your ingredients were different. That will have an impact as well on the overall, you know, how the cake or whatever you're baking turns out. But when it comes to bananas, and it's interesting you say bananas, it does depend on the ripeness and the amount that you use in it.
And what about the butter then? Using softened butter, are you in favour of giving a little 30 seconds
Absolutely.
In the microwave? That's okay.
Yes,
to do,
because
is it?
You won't get the proper aeration. The ideal temperature for whipping up a batter is about 27 degrees. if you want to be scientific.
Okay.
So with all the elements, and there are scientific factors we use in order to determine dough temperatures, depending on your temperature in your room, depending on your ingredient temperatures, to give you the perfect consistency every time you bake.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I will always say room temperature butter for whipping, because you won't get the air in if it's too hard. So in order to trap the most amount of air into your creaming stage of your batter, you need the butter at room temperature.
Not melted completely.
Not melted, because that'll give you the opposite. You won't entrap the air. So it's always better at room temperature. So you're talking about 20, 21 degrees. And as you mix it, the temperature will rise because of the, the mechanics in the
mixing itself.
Well,
listen, we might as well stick with the spongy type things now. So I read a recipe the other day which said add a little bit of the flour into your eggs and your or your butter and your sugar.
Sugar
so
mixture.
Your butter and the sugar mixed. A bit of flour, a bit of egg mix. A bit of flour, a bit of egg mix. Do you agree with that?
No. Now, that's a cheat. There's a reason behind that, and it's to prevent a curdle. So I'll always say, if you can get the maximum aeration during the creaming stage, which is creaming your butter and sugar, then the next stage of aeration is adding in the eggs, because the eggs, the protein in the egg, will trap in the air. So you want to try and incorporate almost all of your eggs, particularly if you're using a proper balanced recipe, at not in the one addition, but at the same time before you add the flour. That way you get maximum emulsification, as we call it, and you also get maximum aeration. If we add a little bit of flour into that mixture, there's water there present, there's free water. As soon as flour comes in contact with free water, you develop a substance called gluten. Gluten is the big danger for cake making. You don't want to develop, because that's what will give you your toughened cake, your cake with the crack in the centre, the hard bound crust. That will contribute to that if you develop gluten. So if you can get all of your butter and sugar creamed together, all of your eggs added without causing a curdle, because a curdle is the separation of the emulsification. So if you see you're on a verge of a curdle, this is where the addition of the flour can come into play. You add a little bit of flour and it helps to prevent that. But if you can get all of your flour in on the last stage, gently, you will make a much softer eating, better produced cake if you can get it all in the end, because you reduce the risk of developing gluten.
And fold it in rather than mix it in.
Fold it in rather than mix it in. Now, there are all-in recipes that work where you bung everything in and it all combines. And it usually works best for smaller cakes where you're not looking for definition of crumb texture or things like that, where the crumb texture is not as important. Or you do want that little burst. So you'll often find cupcake recipes is an all-in mix, because you want that burst, you want that rise. It's a small unit. So if you are going to do that for a larger cake, you might find it'll be very crumbly. So you don't want that. So if you take a little bit more care by creaming your butter and sugar, trying to incorporate the eggs one at a time, sort of we call an emulsifying in between each addition, before you add the flour, you'll lessen the risk of developing gluten.
Okay.
And now, it is scientific.
Yes, and it comes with experience as well, doesn't it? And experimenting.
So I think the cheat's way to prevent a curdle was always to add a little bit of flour. So a little bit of egg, a little bit of flour, but it's not all of your flour. And that, again, is to try and reduce the development of gluten.
Okay. Questions coming in. Mary says, when I take the apple tart out of the oven, it collapses and the pastry gets soft. Why is that?
So it's soggy. Probably too high of an oven temperature with pastry. Particularly if you're using a short pastry, you want a sort of a longer slow cook, so that the centre filling, because it's normally like an apple or rhubarb, or it's a soft, juicy filling in the centre. If your pastry looks baked on the outside, but the filling hasn't baked on the inside, the free water will just soak into the unbaked pastry and go doughy and soggy. So always turn your tart, if you're making a tart, turn it in the oven and making sure that you're getting an even bake all round. And if you feel that an average tart will take anything from 35 to 40 minutes, is a good judge. I'll always say 180 for a short crust pastry, a sweet pastry that would have sugar in it, 180 would be the ideal temperature.
Would you use the fan oven at 160 for that, or leave it at
traditional? I would bake 180 normally, but again, you have to know your oven. It's different ovens. So some people have more aggressive fans, so it'll actually give a hotter heat, so things tend to bake quicker. That can lead to this problem, where it looks baked on the outside, so it's not baked inside. And next thing you get this sogginess and it collapses. So what you need to do, one, is to get to know your oven, and then two, adjust it accordingly. So you might need to bring it down if you find, God, that's only been in there for 20 minutes, but it looks baked, I'll take it out. And when you cut it, then it's all watery and soggy.
No good.
So you need to then next time maybe adjust it, or if you feel that's baking too quick, put a little bit of foil over it and readjust your temperature. Bring it down. Mm-hmm. Most people get to know their ovens, particularly if you're working with a new oven or an old oven.
You mentioned opening the oven to turn your bake.
Yes.
Now, I'd be terrified to do that because I think it's all going to collapse and I'm going to lose all the heat.
That's if it depends what you're baking. So if you're doing a tart, that's not going to, you'll just give it a quick turn. If you're doing a sponge, you have to be very careful. A sponge, I'd normally only turn 3/4 away through the baking. So when it's 3/4 baked and you know that the starch structure, it has started, the crumb structure has started to form, you can gently turn it around or rotate a whole tray. Mm-hmm. Because you'll find that you might get an uneven bake where the back of your sponge will have risen a little bit higher, that's nearer the fan than the front. And a lot of bakers that are making maybe cakes that will be in the oven, I would always say for more than an hour. If you have a setting on your oven for a conventional oven where you can turn off the fan, where you're just your heat is coming from your top and your bottom, and bake in the middle shelf of your oven, that will give you a far better finish.
Okay.
And a lot of people have all these fancy setting ovens and tend to use just one. Stick it on the fan oven, put everything in there. Do use your settings. I use my setting. I have about, I think, 10 different settings and I use them accordingly. So I always say, read the instructions of the oven manual.
All right, now we're running out of time, so you'll have to come back to us. But why did my chocolate fudge icing split on Easter Sunday, said this listener.
Okay, well, I'm presuming they did like a ganache. If they did a ganache where they melted cream, or if they did
butter, melted chocolate, icing, sugar, and it looked split.
Right, okay. I'd say the chocolate was far too hot and it went in. So just reduce the temperature, your chocolate. It split the butter and that's what happened. So just not quite as hot.
Right, now you have an open day coming up at
that's
TU
right,
Dublin
Claire.
That you want to mention.
Yes, so anyone that's interested in a career in baking or even in culinary arts, we have our open day in Grange Gorman in Central Quad on Saturday the 13th of April, so that's next week, and everybody is free to come have a look at our new facilities. We've state-of-the-art facilities there. You'll learn all about our programmes, and it's on between 9:30 and 12:30 on Saturday the 13th.
All right, and
in
the
Grange
details
Gorman.
Are on TU Dublin.ie. Okay,
that's
I'd love
Claire.
To do that myself. I might learn something about my banana bread. Thank you so much, Anne-Marie. Come back and see us again.